You're a man.
Yeah. I mean, do I not look like one?
You have been my greatest love. Be careful, Diana. I do not deserve you.
Have you never met a man before? I mean, what about your father?
I had no father. I was brought to life by Zeus.
Well, that's neat.
It's not up to you.
I'm Steve Trevor's secretary.
What is a secretary?
I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do.
Oh, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery.
I really like her.
Fantastic. Oh, ladies, after you.
I do. I like her.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Film & Water podcast. This is another mini-sode where we'll be talking about some trailers that dropped, but considering the dynamic material that just dropped on us, I'm figuring this might be a regular length episode. Of course, we are going to be talking about the Wonder Woman Comic-Con trailer and the Justice League Comic-Con trailer that dropped just today at the San Diego Comic-Con. Joining me are the Franklins. Hello, Chris and Cindy.
Hello.
Hello.
And Ryan Daly. Hello, Ryan.
How are you?
All right, we're very good. This is very, very exciting stuff. I didn't know that all this material was going to be dropping. So we're going to talk about Wonder Woman first. So, okay, I didn't have anything planned. What do we think about this? Cindy, you start.
Okay. Seems like it's hitting all of the points that you're wanting it to. It's very, you know, empowering. She didn't take any shit. You know, here it is. And,
hey,
you know, she's kicking
now?
Ass. So.
I thought... pretty much the same thing. I thought the costume looked, we actually saw some reds and blues. That was good. It was a little less muted looking. We're getting Steve Trevor, we're getting Etta Candy. So they're actually culling from the comics. The little line with Etta Candy at the end was great. You know, where I'm from, that's called slavery. I thought that was a nice line, about the secretary bit. Yeah, lots of action. It does look, it looks a little dark. Of course, it's World War One, but, you know, I mean, it can't be completely bright and light coming out of BVS. So, you know, but I think it's got some humor in the trailer in it. So I think that's a good, it's a good sign. It looked good.
Mm-hmm. And you also have to think, too, I mean, it is one of those cases that, you know, Steve Trevor isn't coming to save her. He's like, oh, I can't let you do this. And she's like, you can't tell me to do anything.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Ryan, what did you think?
Well, as you know, powerful, independent women terrify me.
Sorry, Ryan. I must terrify you on a daily basis.
I get so nervous right now when I know you're on the Skype call. I was like, oh. Now, I thought for the most part the trailer looked really good. Chris, you mentioned that it looked dark, but what I noticed was the world looks dark. It looks like that sort of sepia, drowned out World War I aesthetic, but she doesn't look dark. And I've noticed this with some of the promo images that we've seen of her and the poster that came out yesterday. The colors on her costume really pop in a way that you would never see in a Zack Snyder film. I think the red of her shirt looks good. The blue looks bright. The whip, when we see the whip, the way that's glowing. So I'm okay with this being a darker world as long as she stands out brighter. That's what I wish we would see with a Superman movie from this universe. So that might be the thing that I liked the most, was that she has emerged both in the context of the visuals and sort of in the marketing, it feels like, as the bright, shining star to come out of the mess that was Batman vs. Superman.
She is a beacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so yeah. The only complaint I have is they should have moved heaven and earth to have Linda Carter be Hippolyta.
I think Hippolyta has a pretty big role in the movie, so I sort of understand why they're maybe not going to give Linda Carter that big. Isn't she in the movie, though? I thought I heard that she was. Am I wrong about that?
She's going to be the president on Supergirl.
Okay, I thought I heard she was... Okay, well, anyway. Yeah.
I don't want them to shoehorn her in a glorified cameo the way they did with the Ghostbusters movie. I don't want them to put her in just for fan service. If they can find a role for her, cool. But...
They should be able to fit her in on Paradise Island somewhere. It's going to be nothing but chicks. I mean, they got to have Linda Carter in there somewhere.
Paula, operating the purple ray.
Perfect. There you go. Exactly. I thought the trailer was trying to cover both bases in that they were showing you just as much Steve Trevor as Wonder Woman, which was kind of like, okay, fanboys, don't get mad. There's a guy in this movie. Don't, you know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, they were, throwing balls right over the plate about Wonder Woman's strength and power. You know, that line, that Cindy just pointed out about the whole, you can't tell me, that thing, and then the thing with the secretary. So it seemed like they were trying to serve both masters, if I may use not a good phrase. But that's what it seemed like to me. They were really trying to, they're nervous because this is the first female-led superhero movie. And they got a lot of money riding on it. And coming after BVS, they really need a home run. They don't know how Suicide Squad is gonna hit. It seems like it's gonna do well, but they don't know. So they're really. And this is something Shag pointed out, which I can't believe I'm even giving him credit for this. But in the photo they released of the six heroes, Wonder Woman is the center. She's dead center in the photo, and I think that does suggest they know that everyone's favorite part of the movie was Wonder Woman. So it's like, okay, Wonder Woman, it's Wonder Woman. So
right.
Yeah, she's on the cover of the DVD Blu-ray release right in the center too. They went with that image of her in the middle of Batman and Superman for the release of the movie. So to me, that I even pointed that out when we were at Walmart the other day. Look, the best part of the movie's right in the middle.
So I don't necessarily want to necessarily go through every bit by bit here because, again, we're trying to cover two trailers and this is supposed to be a minisode. But the opening scene of Steve on – I'm guessing that's Paradise Island. I didn't think that a man could be on Paradise Island. So maybe that either A is in Paradise Island or B there's some rule that they're skirting by having him be on the beach there. But I thought it looked really terrific. Like the scene of the faraway shot, it's about 15 seconds in. Of the ocean behind Diana and all the rocks. That's got to be digitally there. But it looks good. I thought it looked terrific. It doesn't look fake to me.
Yeah, it looked nice. I mean, I thought all of that, the scenes with the Amazons coming through on the horseback, and I thought that all looked really, really good. And it's something, it's something we haven't seen yet. I mean, I guess the closest thing is maybe some of the Asgardians and Thor, but we haven't really seen them. We haven't seen an army of Asgardians really doing a whole lot other than in the Dark World when Asgard was under attack. So, I thought this is bringing something different to the superhero movie that, the comic based movie that we haven't seen yet. So I thought it looked neat. Wonder Woman on horseback. That's the cover of Wonder Woman number one,
Right.
So I'm like, wow, that's it right there. And the soldiers on that cover even kind of look World War I more than two anyway, so it kind of it just evoked that in my head, that cover of Wonder Woman on horseback.
Yeah, I think it's true. So we've got the scene with all some of the Amazons, and then there's the scene in the train station, which goes by very fast, and then there's this ballroom where Wonder Woman is storing a sword in her back. That does not look comfortable.
Right. No.
Was that the guy that played Stryker in Wolverine Origins? He looked like he was maybe German or Russian, and that she was coming towards. That's who it looked like. I didn't look it up, but that's who it looked like. I can't think of the actor's name, but that's who it looked like to me.
Yeah, I think that's Jerome Crabb, I think is his name. I think that's the guy.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though.
Okay.
But it looks like she's about to lop that guy's head off. Thinking.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I think what happened is, you know, with the scene where they're dancing, I think probably she's walking towards him. The way I got it, she was walking towards the bad guy, quote unquote. Steve comes in and like, no, you can't do this. He's trying to dance her around it. And she's like, yeah, no, not so much.
Oh, that's when he says, I can't let you do this.
Yeah. Now, I might be completely wrong, but it just seems like that's the flow of the trailer.
That makes sense.
Ryan, what did you think?
Specifically about the dance part or
any of that stuff.
Overall, a lot of the visuals I really, really liked. What impressed me the most about it was sort of the tone of it. It felt like a movie that I'm going to enjoy watching. I can't help but find a few little nitpicky things that kind of take me out of it. And again, I'm going back to this, the prevalence of the sword and the shield. And the fact that it's a period piece and she's going up against Germanic soldiers and she's got the shield. I was like, okay, well, we weren't asking for another solo Captain America movie. Is this what we're getting? But the thing about that is, like, every time I see the sword and the shield, I'm like, ah, that's not the Wonder Woman I like. And then they cut to a scene with her with the whip. And I'm like, yes, that is what I want. And those scenes just seem to stand out that much more when she's got the lasso. Other than that, yeah, there are a few bits that sort of intrigued me. There's an image early on of a woman who's got sort of like a half mask.
I was just about to ask. She's got like the jigsaw face.
Yeah, who the crap is that?
Dr. Cyber?
Okay, that's something like... But yeah, like, which one of her rogues could that be? Is that a version of... I don't
know. Dr. Cyber.
Oh,
is it supposed to be Dr. Cyber?
Well, I wonder if it's not supposed to be Silver Swan, because she... had, you know,
she was ugly.
A damaged face, ugly. You know, that might be the Silver Swan before she's transformed.
Could be. I don't know.
It's a great visual. Like, just the shot, it's really creepy and weird looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I dug it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, who's that? Like, that looked like a Batman villain to me. Like, that kind of, body deformity thing. I thought that looked really cool. And she looks really pissed. So we said we've got Chris Pine, the great scene with him talking to Diana about that she doesn't have a father. She's fathered from Zeus. And he's kind of okay. I thought his response seemed a little kind of moderny, but I'm not going to get nitpicky about it because it was funny.
Are we taking this? Are we taking her response literally? Like, are they adopting the sort of new origin that Zeus is her father? Or, I mean, she didn't say Zeus is my father, but she said, he sort of gave her life. And
yeah,
I think it's the whole, I mean, maybe not the clay image, but maybe, you know, as far as, I think that's how they're going. I don't think they're going Zeus is her biological father.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just because they're adopting some things. They're adopting things from all different versions of the comics in these movies, so it's hard to say at this point. It could, the way she said it, it could really go either way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. They've done a really good job of keeping all this stuff under wraps for the most part. You know, we really don't know who, like, the villain is or anything, which I dig. I think that's great. I kind of like – I'm sure we'll know all this in, 6 months. But for right now, it's a lot of, like, who's that? What's that? Which I think is great. So then we've got the scene of her – is that Wonder Woman flying through the air with the bow and arrow? That's got to be her, right?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell. I was trying to – the second time we watched it, I was trying to tell if that was her. Apparently, Robin Wright Penn's a big Amazon in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe that is her,
Maybe she's almost more like Artemis or something. I don't know.
No, I think it's her, and I think she's coming over, and it's just showing her warrior prowess because she has – enhanced strength and stuff like that. And I just think it's showing her coming up and over and coming in front of somebody. Coming in behind them to shoot them.
I don't know. I was trying to figure out who that was too, because it's really silhouetted. It's hard to say.
Okay. Anyway, it's what did everybody think of that visual of like the slow mo and her shooting the arrow?
I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, I thought all the action sequences looked good. I see his point. Yeah, it does. The overuse of the shield looks a little Captain America-y. But when they did use the lasso and everything, I thought that was sharp. Like I said, the Amazons coming in was a pretty cool visual. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's like I said, I think this gives this movie a different angle, because it looks like the Amazons are going to be more involved in the film than just they're on the island until she leaves.
Right.
You know, which is what you usually get with Wonder Woman's origin. So
I don't know. As far as for the shield and sword, though, to me, when I think about Wonder Woman, if she's actively in battle, she uses the sword, the shield, the bracelets, the tiara if she's going to throw it. But to me, the lasso was always her cleanup tool. You know, as far as, hey, tell me what's really going on kind of thing. But I mean, but then again, you have like Indiana Jones, who uses a whip as a battle tool. So,
right.
You know, but that's the way I've always.
That'd be a hell of a crossover. We got to work on that.
Yeah.
It's the same timeline. It even works. It all
tracks. Right, yeah.
It all tracks. Sure. So yeah, at the 127 mark, we see the lasso. They give a very specific shot of the lasso, and then it's her on the battlefield, which I would imagine just having a woman in that costume is probably going to distract a couple of guys fighting. Like, just, what? Like, oh, yeah, okay.
So especially during that time period. So.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. So then we got the shot of her grabbing the guy's arm, stopping his blow, and he looks kind of shocked because he's like, what's a woman doing this? And then around 140, we see the lasso for the first time in action. And I don't know. I'm digging that effect.
The gold effect. Yeah, there was that one Justice League graphic novel that came out during the Morrison era that was like, it was specifically about Wonder Woman, and it was painted. I can't remember who did it, but they painted the lasso like that, where it was just like glowing like crazy. And that's what it reminded me of. I can't think of the name of that, but that's what jumped out at me. She's like fighting a dragon or something in that, and that's just the image that popped in my head.
I think it's really neat. I think it's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, what did you think?
Like I said, I mean, that was the one bright, shiny spot of BVS for me, was when she actually used the lasso. So, yeah, every little glimpse that we get of that, I think it looks great. I like the fact that it seems to be glowing. I'm wondering if that's an effect that they have used in the comics, where it seems to be glowing more when it makes contact with another person, and that's sort of showing that it's not like an energy whip, but the lasso sort of glows with that sort of divine power when it's touching or having some sort of effect. Now, in this case, she's not getting any truth from these guys. She's just flipping them upside their head. And I like that. So, yeah, I wish they would just embrace that and that would be her thing, like Captain America has his shield, because she doesn't need the other stuff. I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep coming back to this because it's the thing that's sort of taken me out of it. And I want to like this thing completely, but
You came into this trailer hating it, Ryan.
No, I but like, even,
Let me say this about the shield and the sword, though. You have to think that the lasso of truth is something that only Wonder Woman has. Everybody else on Themyscira, all of the other Amazons, have trained with the shield and the sword. It's what she knows the best. She grew up being trained to use those. So that's what she has the most experience with. The tiara, the lasso, all of that other stuff, it is after she won the contest and came forward to man's world. So she has less experience with it. So what are you going to do if you're in a battle? You're going to go with what you know the best.
Yeah, but there's about almost 50 years of comics before she really started using a shield and a sword too. I mean, that's more of a like post, well, with Perez, she had like the axe and the shield thing, but I mean, post really Perez even, that's when you started seeing more of that. So she did use the lasso more offensively, but...
Forgetting about the comics, just sticking with the movies then, based on what you said, Cindy, and I agree with that, I will be happy with it if the sword and the shield are what she uses in for like the first two thirds. But in the climactic final battle, whoever she's squaring off against, I don't want it to end with her chopping somebody's head off. I would rather end it some other way. And
right.
And like the glimpse towards the end when like the Germans are like pounding her with like machine gun fire and she's got the shield, it looks great. But wouldn't it look better if she was just using the bracelets? That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
That's why she has the bracelets.
Yep, that's true. Yeah.
That's the whole contest, bullets and bracelets.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
very true. Very true.
Blocking a machine gun with those bracelets.
Mm-hmm, like, that would have been cool.
I will stand up in the theater and applaud if that happens.
Note to self, don't go see a movie with Ryan.
I'll spill my drink on you if you're around in front of me.
Around the 1:45 mark, we have Steve Trevor driving through the forest on a motorcycle. People just like Chris Pine on motorcycles.
He drove the hell out of a motorcycle in the movie I saw last night. So,
man, I swear, if they cut that scene to Sabotage, I'm gonna have a problem. So then we see him in a biplane mowing down a bunch of Huns, which is cool. That's always fun. And then there's the aforementioned shield scene, which Ryan absolutely hates. And then we have I like the staging of it. I mean, I think it looks cool. You know, like the lighting, and then there's the scene with her, and then her in that room striking that pose. She poses a lot. And then there's this slow-mo. I hope there's not a lot of slow-mo in this movie.
I know.
I'm not a fan of the slow-mo, and there's a lot of it in this trailer, and I hope that's all the slow-mo that was
used. Yeah.
Zack Snyder loves him some slow-mo.
He sure does.
And he did have a hand in the production of this, so...
Maybe his movies would not be 3 hours if everything was played at regular speed. So anyway, there's the shot of her inside the room just kicking ass, which is, I think, well-staged, and it looks good. You know, and then we have the big logo, the big W logo, which is a nice blending of the bird and the W. Which I think is nice. It plays in with the poster, which I think is terrific. And then we have the final scene with Etta Candy, and then the whole secretary bit. Now, did we laugh at the secretary bit? Is that, you know, what do we think? Too much or what?
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was funny. You know, Etta Candy was always the comedy relief. You know, pretty bizarre comedy relief back in the old Golden Age comics, but in some cases, So I thought that was great. You know, any amount of humor we get in these DC movies, I'm going to applaud.
That's a good point, Chris. Yeah, you're right. It's like, just give us a joke, please.
Chuckle, y'all.
Anything that brings some levity to the situation, I'm going to smile at. So, yeah, I thought it was great.
I liked the button on it, too, which was of Steve Trevor. Like, okay, ladies, let's go. Okay, we're fine. I thought that was good. Yeah. Chris Pine is good. He's good at comedy, as we've seen in some other movies and in Star Trek. So I think this seems like a good fit for him. You know, they needed somebody who is believably a romantic interest for Wonder Woman and isn't just sort of a pushover. So I think it's a good thing. Brian, what did you think of that final gag?
I like Etta Candy. I like the character. I like Lucy Davis, who's playing her. She was adorable back on the British version of The Office some 10, 15 years ago. So I think she'll be great in that. I felt like – I don't know if it was the delivery or if it was the line slavery. That word just felt like a little bit forced, but it didn't bother me. It was just something I like that, and I agree with everything you said. We need more laughs in these movies. So – I know I'm coming down as the naysayer, and I'm coming down as the guy. Like the spirit of this trailer, this is the first one of these movies that I have been genuinely excited to see since walking out of the theater after Man of Steel. Like I am excited to see this. I'm gonna nitpick a few things, but they're not interrupting my anticipation for it, and that's what I can say.
You know. Chris, Cindy, I think it's time that we tell Ryan that this is actually not an episode of the Frame of Water podcast, and this is an intervention.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Bless his little heart.
Ryan, we got to teach Ryan how to like things.
We care for you, Ryan, and we're here for you, and that's what this episode of the podcast is about. So
I'm gonna get off of Skype and then you guys can do the actual recording of this episode.
That's right. I wrote some things down in a journal, like, sharing my feelings. Yeah.
You're just gonna say, I don't know, man, something happened to that recording and then you were off doing something, we couldn't get you back, but I get it.
So, yeah, anyway, I'm very excited about it. I mean, you know, yeah, there's things here and there where I'm kind of like, what's that about? But overall, I'm very excited. This is, outside of Aquaman, of course, this is the number one DC movie I'm looking forward to. DC, Warner Brothers has been playing catch-up to Marvel for 10 years now. And I think with Wonder Woman, they can claim some territory that Marvel has left unconquered, which is a woman superhero, you know, movie. Marvel has had the chance to give Black Widow a movie, and they haven't done it because Lord knows nobody likes to see Scarlett Johansson in a movie. They've left all that money on the table, and here's DC Warner's chance. And so, you know, it's only fitting. Wonder Woman deserves a movie. I'm excited. I think it looks cool, and, you know, yeah, this is – it's really neat. So anyway, we need to move forward because this episode is already longer than – the last full episode of the show I recorded. We're moving on to the Justice League trailer.
Well, I wouldn't know about recording an episode with you.
Oh, sorry.
Man.
Yeah, this got ugly fat. Who would have guessed I would miss Shag now recording? All right, so anyway, let's move on to Justice League. So overall, quick thoughts. What did we think of Justice League?
It gives me hope that, oh my gosh, it might actually not make me want to poke my eyes out.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought was, that actually didn't look bad. I mean, I'll be honest, after BVS, I wasn't expecting much, you know, and I'm like, at first thing I said to Cindy is like, why didn't we just start here?
Exactly. I mean, usually, I mean, you know, a lot of times if they're going to have a bunch of movies like that, you know, you start off with either one character and it grows out of that.
Yeah.
Or you start off with the buddy and then they break off.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, they made such a misstep with the other, right. which shall not be named. Okay. It'll be like Voldemort.
Let's just move forward. Let's just move forward.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll be good.
I have to be excited because at 23 seconds, there he is. There's my guy. I get to see Aquaman talking in live action. This is very, very exciting for me. This has, you know, a lot of gags in it. It does. It has a lot of, I mean, there's no way that it's not on purpose. Now we see that Wonder Woman at the 34 mark, we see Wonder Woman has a new shield. Aquaman drinking a bottle of water, and then that really great shot of him in the waves.
That is cool.
Ryan, what did you think? Please say you liked it.
We all wait with bated breath.
Pass.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on, baby. Come on.
I liked Flash a little bit more than I thought I would. I can't not compare these movies now. I'm stuck in this mold. And the scene when Bruce goes to recruit Barry felt like a scene from a Marvel movie that we've seen, like Tony Stark going to recruit Spider-Man, which was done so much better. So it looks better. It looks like Warner Brothers played a hand in the production of this movie. Like they actually stepped in and told Zach, no, you're going to do it more like this. And that should be for the best. I gotta say, Rob, I know Aquaman's your boy. Do you want to talk about the last, the stinger on this trailer, or
not just yet? We'll get to
okay.
It.
Okay, then move on.
Wow! Oh my god!
I can't. I'm sorry.
All right.
And he suggested we talk about it.
I know, Ryan. This is all your idea. I don't understand.
Well, because otherwise I'm just punching the wall in my basement. And
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Speaking of the basement.
Okay, the really good scene. What about when Bruce and Diana are talking and she's like, well, you know, is he in or is he not? Well, more or less. Hey, and basically she's like, cut the crap. Tell me the deal. So, you know, here it is.
Yeah.
I liked that interaction between the two of them.
Yeah,
I will say that that was a positive thing. And this goes for both trailers that I've seen. I was worried about Gal Gadot's performance based on the casting of her with not much to speak of beforehand. Between mm-hmm. the two trailers that we just watched and between the previous movie, I think she's doing a solid job, and I like her interactions with Ben Affleck in these scenes. So I'm not yes. worried about her at all. So I'll say I did like that scene. I like their chemistry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think like with Daisy Ridley, this is sort of an unknown rising to the occasion. You know, it's a lot of pressure on her uh-huh. shoulders, yes. but it seems like she's handling it quite well. I like the scene of Bruce in Barry's rundown apartment or whatever little hovel that he's living in. I thought that was funny. I think that's a very Batman-y thing to just walk into somebody's house and expect people to be all cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told Cindy, I said, Affleck feels more like Batman Bruce Wayne in this trailer than he did through the majority of BVS. Because he's not, you know, extreme mad on, I want to kill somebody, Batman. Which I hope they toned that down. You know, I hope he got over it through the whole Martha therapy session.
Don't say that name, Chris.
Why'd you say that name? What? I liked the Barry bit. I liked his interactions with Aquaman.
And thank God he got a haircut.
Who did?
Barry.
Barry, yeah.
God, yeah. No. Yeah.
And shaved.
I mean, what the crap?
Is it Ezra Miller looks a little bit like Jimmy Fallon, though.
It's no, no. He looks like Kylo Ren with a better nose.
Okay.
I see it.
Okay. It's Adam. They wanted Adam Driver to be Nightwing in these movies, right? Or that was a rumor anyway. But anyway, but what we saw, you know, I definitely think you guys are right. I think the tone of this trailer was most definitely in response to all of the, you know, negativity about the negativity of BVS. I think this was like, hey, look, we're having fun. You know, it's, you know, I mean, obviously the stakes are high I expected to react the way Ryan has apparently reacted. And I didn't. I felt like, well, okay, you know, they might have stumbled out of the gate. And yes, this does feel very much like Nick Fury recruiting everybody or whatever. But at this point, I don't know what else they're going to do. You know, they've waited too long. Like Rob said, they have Wonder Woman as their kind of, you haven't done this yet, but everything else, Marvel Studios has already beaten them to the punch on. So everything's going to feel somewhat, you know, like we've seen it before. Just now it's with the DC characters.
Yeah, I mean, the scene with Bruce throwing the batarang and, you know, Barry's just watching it as if in slow motion. That's not really anything we haven't seen with Quicksilver in either X-Men or Avengers movies. But I still enjoyed the gag anyway, I have to admit. I still mm-hmm. just liked seeing it.
Yeah.
All right, a few quick things that I did like. I had to think about this a little bit more, but getting back to Batman, or I think Ben Affleck looks better in this one. He doesn't look like old man Bruce. Mm-hmm. He looks a little mm-hmm. bit thinner. He looks a little bit younger, surprisingly. He just doesn't have like the grizzled over-the-hill look that I think Zack Snyder wanted him to have in the last one. So he looks a little bit more fit. It looks a little bit more confident. They also released a sort of promo image of the six characters. It included Superman at the same time that they showed this trailer. And I think he looked thinner in the costume. I thought all of the promo images of Batman from the BVS, I thought he looked fat in those promo images. I think he looks good in this one. So those are an improvement. The kid who plays Cyborg, when they show him in this trailer with the full Cyborg effects, I think he looks good in the context of the trailer. That was another one where the promo images I didn't think looked that great, but the effects of the effects shot with him in this trailer I think looks solid. So those are good things. Those are positives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do need to point out the young man who's playing Cyborg is from my hometown. Should point
oh,
out.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So anyway, we see then Flash in action. We see a brief shot of Aquaman all tatted up, and then we see the bunch of them all together, which is again, you're like, wow, you know, yeah. And you're right. I think Batman does look thinner. He just looks less bulkier Frank Miller, Dark Knight, the cover number
Thank
two.
Thank you, yes, yeah. Exactly.
They did a Batman Returns, like, when Michael Keaton's suit got streamlined, you know, and he looked better in it.
Yeah, yeah.
From Batman Returns.
And then it ends with the tag of the You Talk to Fish, which, you know, nobody can ever give that joke up. But nevertheless, I think that's the whole point of it, is that we're, you know, are you really going to mouth off to a guy that looks like Jason Momoa? So even though I've heard that joke a bajillion times, it just didn't bother me. I didn't laugh. I wasn't like, oh my God, that's so funny. But it didn't bother me either. So
He needed a comeback, though. I think they should have had Aquaman Arthur give him a comeback. If you think about it, that trailer is very Aquaman centric.
It sure is.
It's like they're trying to sell, I don't know if it's like they're trying to sell the public on Aquaman, or maybe it's because Aquaman's the next big character in the DC franchise that people know. I mean, maybe it's that. Maybe it's because, hey, you remember the Super Friends. Well, Aquaman hasn't been done before. It doesn't have a TV show. It hasn't been in a movie. We've done Wonder Woman, and she's got her own trailer. So Flash has got his own TV show. So,
but it's very Aquaman-centered. They're trying to sell you on Aquaman, but they're not trying to it's not bringing the audience to Aquaman, who he is. It's bringing the character to the audience and changing him so that a serious audience can take him seriously. We're going to show Aquaman, like, looking tough, throwing a bottle of Jack Daniels on the beach with all of his tats, and we're going to make fun of the joke because all of the people who grew up watching Challenge of the Super Friends remember how lame Aquaman was in that show. No, this is serious Aquaman. I freaking hated the end of this trailer with that line. I'm sorry, Rob. Aquaman is one of my favorite characters, and I do not like this version of him. I do not like what they are doing to him in order to sell him to the general audience. It bothers me so much.
I think I've just accepted it. Okay. You know, I mean, I've just I've become Tanya. You know, I mean, I'm just accepting this is just what it's going to be. So I have to, you know, under those sort of circumstances, I'm like, okay, what part of this do I like? And yeah, I don't want to get, again, this movie is over a year away. There's going to be 17 trailers between now and then. I don't want to get like super, like every moment of this trailer, it has to be perfect or I'm not going to, you know, but at the same time, that is the commercial. And yeah, I agree to a certain extent. It is kind of seeding some ground a little, that it's like, yeah, Aquaman's lame, so let's make a joke about it, which is not thrilling. But at the same time, I also know what they're doing, that we know for a fact that both Mira and Volko were going to be in this movie, which is, that's a lot of Aquaman material for a movie that's already got six characters. So it makes me think that they're really going to be doing Aquaman, you know, quite a bit. I mean, maybe Willem Dafoe has one scene or something. I hope you don't see his penis. We tend to do that in those movies that he's in. But, you know. But, it, you know, I mean, they're bothering to cast all these characters, and so it makes me think, okay, Aquaman's going to have a lot to do, and maybe for this trailer, they're just nervous, you know? And that seems to be Warner Brothers' stance on this whole thing from the beginning, but I don't know. It just didn't jump out at me as the way it bothered you.
And I hope you're right. And if I can look at this from a positive stance, maybe they're doing it sort of like the first issue of Geoff Johns' Aquaman run.
Right, right.
That whole line with what's it feel like to be nobody's favorite superhero.
Right.
Where they're actually putting it on Front Street that, yeah, this is a guy who was a punchline for decades. But if we use that sort of as bait, to use a fishing metaphor, and bring the audience in there, then we can show them how cool he really is. Maybe that's what they're going to do. I really hope that is the case. The track record...
No, right. Yeah, they don't... You're not giving them the benefit of the doubt at this point.
I'm not. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. Let's see.
All right. Well, I think... And does anybody else have anything we want to say before we wrap up?
Well, I mean, as far as for the Aquaman thing, I wish they hadn't shown him taking the drink and then just throwing it away. I mean, to be a badass, you don't have to be a drunk.
We don't know that he's drunk. I hope he's not littering. I don't want superheroes that litter. Don't do that to me. But maybe there's a trash can or something we just see. So, I've been said on the show, this is not the Aquaman I really would go with, but that's what they've done. And so I have to just accept it and sort of judge it from that spec. And in
context, yeah.
Yeah, from that context. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's Aquaman. It's a lot of Aquaman. It's more Aquaman in the show than I ever would have expected. Way more. So
who expected a trailer? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that too. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, when Ryan said, "Hey, you know, I was talking with Ryan about the Wonder Woman trailer, and I'm like, "Hey, let's record this," and he's like, "Do you want to talk Justice League too?" I have to admit, I was like, "What Justice League? What are you talking about?" I didn't even know they did it. So it's crazy how much they've dropped out there in San Diego today.
Damage Control. We think that they tell them to go ahead and get the trailer together to kind of. Steer the ship back in the positive direction.
I think it makes sense. Disney's not there, so there's less competition. So there's going to be way more attention paid to these than there would be if Disney was there dropping a Rogue One trailer. So they've kind of got the ground to themselves a little bit. So it makes sense. Why not? You know, and the other studios don't have these big franchises. It's really only Warner Brothers and Disney that are playing on this level. So why not? Why not? You know, hey, we're going to do Wonder Woman. Overall, I am still more excited about Wonder Woman than I am Justice League, because Justice League is still directed by Zack Snyder. So there's only so much I think you can do. It's still Wonder Woman. Despite that Aquaman is in Justice League, it is still Wonder Woman, the one that I am looking forward to the most next year.
Right. It's the one I'm looking to the most without the, you know, that gnawing fear in the back of my head that I might go in there and not like it, which is what I went into with BVS. I was like, okay, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm thinking that this is how I'm going to feel when I walk out, and I was pretty on the nose with it. But in Wonder Woman, I think I'm just going to be able to more or less just enjoy it.
I do want to ask this question before we wrap up of you guys, Chris and Cindy, about they have not rated Wonder Woman yet. I'm guessing it's going to be PG-13. Just looks like by the sheer amount of action and violence in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wonder, like, is that a mistake making a movie that a lot of people might be uncomfortable taking their little kids to because it's Wonder Woman? I mean, every little girl is going to want to see this movie. And
if you took your kids to see Captain America, you shouldn't have a problem going to see Wonder Woman.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Was that movie PG-13?
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't think of the last superhero comic book movie that wasn't PG-13.
Yeah.
I think that's just like the default standard for anything that's not an animated all-ages type of movie. I think it's just that's the way they're going now.
Would you guys feel comfortable taking Danny to see this?
From the trailer, I think we're going to have to see a little bit more because we really regret that we actually took her to see BVS. We should have known better.
We should have done a lot of times, most of the time, if anything like this comes out, we go and see it. Either Chris and Andrew go see it or me and Chris go see it. And then we decide whether to take Danny or not. And at that moment, that was the only time we were going to get to see it. And we thought, oh, we'll go see it. And then I'm just like.
We covered our eyes a lot.
Yes, most definitely.
Because we felt like, okay, this is going to get bad. And and she still talks about how she didn't like it. So, and that's without us really talking about it. So, you know, we might go see it first. Mm-hmm. With the Marvel movies, I think we're pretty safe, you know, with them. The you know, Civil War and Ant-Man being the last two that we saw that they were both fine, you know, so but you know, I know that varies. Some people don't want to take their young kids to anything that's like PG-13, and we're not telling people what to do, but just us personally, that's kind of where we fall on it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, again, comparison to Captain America, you know, World War II, World War I, you know.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Well, all right, I think we're going to wrap it up here because this minisode is now topping out at 45 minutes.
Hang on, they just released a new trailer for Suicide Squad. Do we want to go for the
Oh, you're, no. You're not funny now. Just stop it. So, okay.
I'm sorry. I have absolutely no desire to go see that piece of crap.
Well, there you go.
Wow. And on that
not
note.
Not even.
I'm going to be seeing it. I think it looks kind of cool, but okay. All right.
I'm good.
Well, then I won't invite you on the show to talk about it, Cindy. How about that?
I'm going to go see it.
Well, heck, I've invited myself on your show and I can't get on there. So.
We were picking on Ryan. When did this turn on me? I don't like this. What's going on? This is my show. What the hell's happening? Anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this. You can follow the show on at Film and Water Pod on Twitter and, of course, on the network. We can find all of our shows, everybody here, Supermates, Give Me Those Star Wars, everything else that we're doing over at FireAndWaterPodcast.com. And, again, Ryan, Chris, and Cindy, thanks so much for coming on at this super late notice.
Thank you for having us.
All right, everybody. We will see you later. Bye.
There is a stranger who comes to this village from the sea. He comes in the winter when people are hungry and brings fish. He comes on the king tide.
That was last night.
Talk.
I believe that an enemy is coming from far away. I'm looking for warriors. This stranger. Others like him. I'm building an alliance to defend us. It's very important that I see this man. Barry Allen. Bruce Wayne.
You said that like it explains why there's a total stranger sitting in the dark in my second favorite chair.
He said he'll fight with us?
More or less.
More or more less?
Probably more or less.
He said no.
Look, man, I don't know who you are, but whoever you're looking for...
Fast.
That feels like an oversimplification.
I'm putting together a team. People with special abilities. You see, I believe enemies are coming.
Stop right there. I'm in.
You are? Just like that?
Yeah. I need friends.
Great.
Can I keep this?
You didn't think you were real.
I'm real and it's useful.
Arthur Curry. I hear you can talk to fish.